Please listen with me for readings from the Gospel of Mary and the Gospel of John. If you would like to read along, the scriptures are printed on the back of the bulletin. When the soul had brought the third power to naught, it went upward and saw the fourth power. It had seven forms. The first form is darkness. The second is desire. The third is ignorance. The fourth is zeal for death. The fifth is the kingdom of the flesh. The sixth is the foolish wisdom of the flesh. The seventh is the wisdom of the wrathful person. These are seven powers of wrath. They interrogated the soul. Where are you coming from, human killer? And where are you going, destroyer of realms? The soul replied, saying, "What binds me has been slain, and what surrounds me has been destroyed. My desire has been brought to an end, and ignorance has died. In a world, I was set loose from a world, and in a type, from a type that is above, and from the chain of forgetfulness which exists in time. From this hour on, from the time of the due season of the age, I will receive rest in silence." Jesus answered Nicodemus, "No one can see the realm of God without being born from above. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Yeah. I invite you to pray with me, if you will. God of grace, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you just wanted to say, "Beam me up, Scotty"? Like the time when I asked the lady when she was due and she told me she wasn't pregnant? Beam me up, Scotty. Yeah. The time when I commented on how cute a woman's hair was. It was short and cut. It was a new style for her. And she said, "Yeah, that comes with the chemo." Beam me up, Scotty. The times that you've sat in meetings that seem to go on forever, going nowhere. Beam me up, Scotty. Now, it's not that I'm a Trekkie. I don't have a spandex Starfleet uniform, which is a good thing. And I really probably have not watched an entire episode of Star Trek all the way through. But the phrase, it's just part of our culture. We know it. We catch on to it. This idea that in the midst of a sticky situation, when we're confronting the hostile Klingons or Vulcans or district superintendents or parishioners, another way of saying, "Oh Lord, deliver me," is, "Beam me up, Scotty." I have yet to dissolve into a sparkling vapor mist and to rematerialize aboard the mothership, but I keep hoping. It's a nice idea. I mean, wouldn't it be nice and easy if our faith development worked that way? If we could just say, "Beam me into patience or goodness or kindness or gentleness or self-control." People tell me that sometimes they are praying for patience, hoping, I think, that they will be beamed into the virtue of presence, or that presence will come upon them. But what I've found most often is when I pray for patience, I get the opportunity to practice it instead. When I pray for patience, I find myself in the longest line of the grocery store, come to find out that the checker is on her first day of training and the light flashes for a price check. Or I find myself on the interstate, stopped, parked, going nowhere quickly. Patience has yet to be bestowed on me with the waving of the magic wand or the call to the mothership. Developing those character traits like peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, those what some might call virtues, what the Apostle Paul called fruits of the Spirit, what John Wesley called going on to perfection, it's not so much a beam me up Scotty moment, as it turns out. It's more like a Mario Brothers moment. I'm not a video game addict or anything like that. I haven't played one in years. But when my girls were little, many, many years ago, I think back in the 80s, we got a Nintendo and it came with Mario Brothers. And so in our bonding time together, I learned to race that little Italian plumber across the screen and off the edge, mostly. Then I learned to maneuver my son so that he would jump the chasms. And finally, I learned how to make him jump up and hit those bricks overhead, to which I was rewarded with a shower of coins and delightful little music. The Mario Brothers way. Upon successful completion of that level, the little plumber then disappears into a pipe. The sewers beneath New York City is the venue, and these pipes lead us up to the next level, and a new screen unfolds with a new background and even far greater challenges. Each level ascending takes us higher and higher on the goal to work our way out of these sewers by defeating those creatures that long to devour us. And I think it's something about getting to the surface, but I never made it to perfection in that either. It's an interesting juxtaposition. Beam me up, Scotty. In a moment, transform me. Or let me crawl around, working through layers and layers of resistance and hopefully emerging a little higher, defeating some of that which holds us back. The ancient peoples, they didn't have Star Trek or Mario Brothers, but they still spoke of that human condition and of that longing that we have and of that transformation that takes place. They spoke of it in their images and in their words and with their stories. It most often more resembled a Mario Brothers type event than the see me up, Scotty, type of event. The ancient storytellers, they began by talking about our beginning. They began with our souls emerging from the divine. They began with stories of a birthing God who breathed life into us and breathed that life of God's very being into our souls. They told stories of souls nursed on the bosom of God, feeding on the very essence of holiness. They told stories of the divine that would shape us and mold us and create our trueness. Stories about being created in the very image of God. Holy and sacred, sparkling with the stardust of the heavens and breathed into new life, each and every one of us, birthed and treasured by a loving God. They told stories of the divinity and the goodness, and then they looked around this world and, yeah, not so much stardust and sparkle and images of God did they see. So they told more stories. They told stories of us tumbling off of God's mothering lap and wandering away. They told stories of our falling asleep into slumber and forgetting who we are and where we came from. They told stories of our souls being tricked and deceived into denying our trueness and turning away from God's perfection. They told stories of us catching sight instead of earthly sparkle, instead of stardust sparkle, and being entrapped in the petty distractions all around us, deceiving us into thinking that these earthly things are what our soul longs for, instead of that which we have forgotten. And so they told stories of how deeper and deeper we sank and wandered off from our home, and we became more and more entrenched and connected to and attached to these physical things about us that we forgot our soul. We forgot our spirit. We forgot our God. The ancients told stories, not of a plumber under the streets of New York City, but they told stories of a soul that was working to ascend from the depths, that was working to defeat the powers that would hold her back. Told stories of that which binds and destroys. They told stories. The Gospel of Mary tells us the story of the soul that is going upwards. On each level, she faces new challenges that attempt to hold her back. At first, she sees that there is darkness, and darkness covers her eyes and shrouds her faces and keeps her from seeing. But then there is a light that is emanating from within, and the light conquers the darkness. She lives by the light instead. She moves on to the next level and the challenge that greets her there. When she sees the items of this world, that desire grows strong within her. And desire is not alone. It brings with her the persons of envy and jealousy and greed. And their green eyes seduce, and their long gowns flow, and their diamonds drip upon them, and they tease her. And they tell the soul to go for the gusto, just to grab it, to take all of this and to grow, and fame and power and glory can be hers. But the soul soon learns that desire is never satisfied. The more she acquires, the more desire demands, and that this pretty, shiny, sparkly things of this earth, they get tipped and tarnished, and desire sends her off searching for more. But once she banished desire from her presence, she ascends to the next level. And there she finds that ignorance does his best to lure her soul back into a quiet slumber. Ignorance sings her a lullaby and says, there, just don't worry about those things. Don't worry your pretty little head. But alas, he too falls dead when the light of knowledge defeats ignorance. And she ascends once more, slowly and upward through this long birthing process. She finds the last is the hardest, for there she encounters wrath, and wrath is sevenfold powers. There's anger, and there's resentment, and betrayal, and bitterness, and spite, and violence, and rage. Malevolent beings seeking to seduce her their ways, to their powers, attempting to kill the God within her. But the soul perseveres, and the soul exclaims, "What binds me has been slain. What surrounds me has been destroyed. I was set loose from the chains of forgetfulness. It is in the good that I rest in silence." See, the ancients told stories. The ancients told stories about a Pharisee, a Jewish leader, who came to Jesus at night in the darkness, seeking the wisdom of Rabboni, seeking the wisdom that Jesus had to offer. And Jesus answers Nicodemus and says to him, "No one can see the realm of God without being born anew. See, what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born of the spirit. Born anew." The ancients told stories. They told stories of the younger son who took his inheritance and wandered off to a distant country, and there he squandered his property on dissolute living. And then he came to himself. He woke up, And he lusted after the slop that he was feeding the pigs. And he remembered he was his father's son. And he went home. He turned and he got up and he went back and ran and fell into the embrace of his compassionate father who had been yearning for his arrival home. See, the ancients told stories. They told stories of sheep and of coins that are lost and then found. They told stories of pearls of great price, treasures that are buried within. They told stories of tiny mustard seeds that blossom and grow into great trees. You see, the ancients told stories. Stories of rebirth. Stories of resurrection. Stories of new life and transformations of our souls. They told stories about losing life and finding life. Stories about prisoners released and captives set free and blind men seeing and new wine poured out for all. They told stories of the light of God's love, that when we seek and when we ask, we can trust that we will find. Stories that will take our soul to new birth, that will take our soul to remember who we are and where we came from and the goodness of our creation, back to the place of our trueness, to the place of our belonging, held in the love of God's embrace. May we journey forth and be so. Amen.